go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh, here we go again. No, look. Don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. It just gets a little tiresome knowing. Some days you know what the program's going to be, and some days, not so much. But when you find out what the program's going to be, you know, like minutes, seconds after you've opened your eyes in the morning, and you know that the topic is going to be that topic. Well, yeah, it's a little wearisome. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. We're already up and running there. Good evening to Irritated Dragon and Mr. Gibson and Lottie and Sparky, our capable, longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators. Good evening. And a little half-hearted ring of the bell there. And on top of it all, I've got an audio gremlin this evening. You're not hearing it, but I am. I've only got audio in one channel. It sucketh. Yeah. You know, we'll get through. I was, I've been running new wires and everything, trying to get rid of any audio artifacts and stuff like that. And in the process of crawling around under the desk today, I think I have made something come loose. Yay. Well, and I only found out here as I started the audio. So that's something to do for, after the program. Anyway. This is The Horn, yes, and also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, you will find the Contribute tab. That's where you go to use the PayPal interface that helps us keep all of this on the air. And I'm proud to say that we just have a regular, typical, ordinary evening's fundraising to do. Mm-hmm. Just $200 this evening. Actually, I'm sorry, $150, my bad. Thank you to Nancy and Sharon. And thanks to David at the close of the program last night for wiping out the remaining deficit. So, yeah, $150 to raise this evening. That's awfully nice. And hopefully that'll happen sooner rather than later. I'm going to forego the typical prayer meeting Wednesday shtick just because it's out of place. It's just out of place this evening. Yeah, by the way, the mailing address, if you want to help out that way, checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. And what was it, Monday? A lot of you didn't hear Monday's show because I screwed up the podcast. I still haven't figured out how I screwed up the podcast, but I screwed up the podcast. But I think it was Monday when I mentioned, how did I put it? That participation in the NRA death lottery is not voluntary, and it can, it can come due in just any city in the United States, any little town, any little rural hamlet. Hello, Moneta, Virginia. As the saying goes on the game show, come on down. There'll be a long time forgetting this one. They probably won't forget it. They won't put up any historical markers. But, no, a couple of generations will have to pass away before this morning in Moneta, Virginia, is forgotten. Only this one has a new wrinkle. Now we get to consider murder as an element of social media. Yeah. So for purposes of posterity, let me state what is obvious to everyone who is tuned in live. This morning, a reporter and her cameraman were doing an assignment at Smith Mountain Lake in Virginia. They were interviewing the head of the Chamber of Commerce at a little mall area that sits right by the lake. And that is a beautiful, beautiful neck of the woods, corner of the country, whatever we're going to call it. Just beautiful. And as they were doing their live stand-up for the morning news program, a man with a handful of freedom showed up. He was one of those typical American killers in that he was a lawful gun owner. He had purchased his firearm legally and lawfully. Later on, when he released his manifesto, he explained to us when and why he purchased his freedom protection. He put the down payment on it on easy terms on the 17th day of June. And so, bearing his Second Amendment handful of freedom, he shot three people. He killed two of them. He killed the cameraman. He killed the reporter. And he shot the Chamber of Commerce lady, apparently, from reports I've seen, in the back. But this is where it gets new and interesting. Because handguns are designed to be portable and usable single-handedly, he recorded the murder. And later released them. His name, of course, was Bryce Williams, at least on air. His real name was Vester Lee Flanagan II, I believe. And he had used the air name Bryce Williams as he tried to be a member of the for-profit media. The video he shot was 56 seconds long. Allison Parker saw him raise the gun and pointed at her. Adam Ward did as well. Vicky Gardner is listed in stable condition. Ms. Parker and Mr. Ward are dead. It all happened early this morning. And somewhere along the way, as he raced to escape, Vester Lee Flanagan uploaded his 56-second video and I suppose was tweeting on his Bryce Williams account, telling the world all about what he had done. He also found time to fax a manifesto of sorts to an ABC News affiliate. In which he aired his grievances. People working at other television stations were quick to add their two cents worth to the story, noting where he had worked as a reporter, and that he had a history of alleging persecution. And racial bias. Because, as is so often not the case, Vester Lee Flanagan was a black man. He took his own life at the end of his lengthy chase. It went from I-64 in Virginia up a big old chunk of I-81. All the way to I-66, and somewhere around the 18-mile marker, apparently as he drove, he shot himself in the head and later died of his self-inflicted wounds. People who happened to be tuned in to the WDBJ broadcast that morning got to see it happen themselves. And later on, people who saw the postings on Twitter saw his POV, point of view, of it. In a moment of supreme bad judgment, the Washington Times, owned, of course, by the Unification Church and Reverend Sun Myung Moon, a right-wing rag among right-wing rags, at least online, I don't know if they've done it in their hard copy, but their lead photograph is of Allison, is a photograph of his hand holding the firearm pointed at Allison Parker. And his left hand, of course, is holding his camera to take a picture of her. I there is no accounting for why the Washington Times chose to run that photograph. Probably because it will yield money for them. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Subject line, maybe. Hey, Bob, I think I know why Americans are so scared of the Iranians. They believe the Iranians are as batshit crazy and bloodthirsty as we are. Got a problem? Kill it. That's as good a theory as I have lately heard. Now, before we get too far into the discussion, let's make something abundantly clear. Nothing is going to change. It was Moneta, Virginia's turn this morning at the roulette wheel of death, brought to you by the NRA, the National Rifle Association, protecting freedom since, oh, never mind, we just want your money. Nothing's going to change. There will be another one of these, maybe not just like it, but there will be another, and 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 another. Nothing will change because we have politicians in this country who live in mortal quaking fear, almost the same amount of fear as is visible on Alison Parker's face. When they think about what the NRA could do to them and their unquenchable desire to hold power, should they do something about the epidemic of firearms violence, pandemic of firearms violence in this country. But this one's a little different. Because the shooter was black. By the way, whose turn is it? Whose turn is it today? Well, I'm looking at a couple of things Sparky's posting in the chat room. Louisiana State Police report an officer among three people shot in the southwestern town of Sunset, Louisiana. Four shot, two dead, including one adult and one teen in West Palm Beach, Florida shooting. Two dead, one injured. Well, three dead, really. Three dead, one injured in Moneta, Virginia. I don't know. Maybe something will change now. Maybe something will be different. Maybe we'll have the same effect. Maybe this will have the same effect as that photograph of the Black Panthers on the California State House steps did on Ronald Reagan, in which California suddenly decided that it needed to do something about firearms back in the 1960s. This guy was a mess. He claims to have experienced racism and homophobia, homophobic bigotry. He claims that Alison Parker, whom he murdered, had made racist comments to him. Oh, God. And of course, because there has to be, well, just happens to have happened on Wednesday, given what we do here on Wednesdays. Vester Flanagan, Bryce Williams, also noted that he was instructed by Jehovah to do this. Well, Lottie is in the chat room. Our moderator, Lottie, is apparently in agreement with me. Nope, Bob, nothing will change, and the right wing will devote all their energies to closing down Planned Parenthood because abortion kills fetuses. No, he said Jehovah told him to go and murder people. Which we understand in cases like this means that he was probably not right in the head. And yet, on the other hand, we've got a couple of guys running for the Republican nomination for President of the United States who say that God talks to them all the time. And we don't automatically say, well, they're mentally ill. Nope. So the butcher's bill came due again today. Vester Lee Flanagan, you know, you have to use all three names, said Jehovah told him to do it, and the use of the word Jehovah even has meaning. Most people just call him God. When you get to using the word Jehovah, that probably means you've been affected or contacted or jined up with somebody that uses that. That's usually kind of an indicator of fundamentalism in the extreme. Maybe the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know. We don't know that much about him. We know that his manifesto, his screed, said that the shooting in Charleston took place on June the 15th, and he put money down on the firearm on June the 17th. And he said, I have written the victims' names on my hollow point bullets. Meaning, I presume, the victims, the 9 murder victims from Charleston. Early reporting indicated that at least 8 shots were fired. There were 9 victims in Charleston. He said, Dylan Roof, Little White wants a race war. Well, here you go. It's likely not going to be a particularly pleasant next couple of days as the right wing loses its teeny tiny microscopic mind and gives full weight to its great big oversized lizard brains. What's to say? Oh, he also spoke with approval of the Virginia Tech shooter, and as well as Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris of Columbine. He had no problem whatsoever obtaining a firearm so long as he had the cash. Because money. No waiting period. Update on the story coming out of Louisiana. 8 people are being held hostage in Sunset, Louisiana at a store there after 3 people, including a police officer, have been shot. It's getting rather warm in this country. Our cold Civil War is getting rather balmy as well. I don't know what more to say about a story like this. Except to say that it's going to happen again and again and again and again and again. Can you offer me any evidence to suggest otherwise? Can you offer me any hope? Marty says, if anything changes, this being black-on-white violence, blacks will have their gun rights curtailed. I'm sure the NRA has already tweeted or Facebooked or something that these people would be alive today if only they had had guns, too. Although, in that revolting photo of Alison Parker about to die, you can tell that she really wasn't in much of a frame of mind to reach into her gun bra or her gun purse or her gun pouch, or her gun holster, or no. Because that's a little bit what it's like when someone's pointing a gun at you. They have, in the vernacular, got the drop on you. And having another gun isn't much in the way of a help. Yeah, the manifesto is plenty weird. And it will provide fodder for the people who love to fly the Confederate flag. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it's already there for the it's already there for to be witnessed if you are silly enough to go into the comments section of various news stories. The account of the murder posted over at RT is one such case. Those comments are just nasty. And, of course, racist. It's generally a good thing to stay away from the comments. Black America is about killing, shooting, looting, burning. White America is about hard work and earning a paycheck. Do not go to the comments. Do not go to the comments. Why did I do it? He wrote. I put down a deposit for a gun on 6-19-15. The church shooting in Charleston happened on 6-17-15. What sent me over the top was the church shooting, and my hollow point bullets had the victim's initials on them. As for Dylann Roof, you and ABC News kindly deleted whatever it was he referred to him as, because in a story, a graphic story about a horrifying murder, well, we want to make sure that there aren't any potty mouth words involved. Bring it then, you white, again, deleted. ABC News reporting, he said Jehovah spoke to him, telling him to act. Listen, can we just deal with this real quick? If you know anybody who says that Jehovah, Yahweh, Ihweh, the Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, Pope John Paul II in his soon-to-be-sanctified deadness, If you know anybody who says that anybody is talking to them who isn't physically there in the room, don't take it lightly. Don't assume that that's just how, you know, that you can say that because we have freedom of religion here in America. Don't do that. Please don't do that, because it could get someone killed. Part of the conversation that we will not have coming out of this horror has to have a religious aspect. How can anyone tell when someone's religious blathering about some deity speaking to them? How can you tell when it's harmless and when it has a potential to be homicidal? Because as far as I can tell, you can't tell. There's no way of knowing. Just as there's no way of knowing when a perfectly rational-seeming individual walks into a Freedom Protection store that is absolutely full of firearms and begins talking about the relative merits of 9mm versus 40 caliber versus 10mm versus 45 versus 357 Magnum versus 380, whether one wants to sacrifice portability for stability, a heavier handgun versus an airweight frame. You can't tell. And you know what the guy behind the counter at the Freedom Protection store will never ask you? Well, what do you plan to use this weapon for? Because there's only one purpose for a handgun. Just one. Now, granted, we will couch it in different terms. Your freedom protector might say, well, I's wanting this for concealed carry. Or he might say, no, I want that 44 Magnum wheel gun over there with the eight foot barrel on it, cause I'm a gonna open carry, cause I'm free and I'm an American freedom protector. But the subtext to any sale of any handgun is, I want to be able to kill another human being. And I want to be able to do it efficiently. And I want to make sure that when I decide to kill, I'm going to really, really, really kill. I don't want any survivors. That is any handgun purchase. Well, I'm buying this one for the little woman. You know, she ain't got as big a hand as I do. So I reckon she probably don't need the .357 Magnum. I was thinking maybe more like, I don't know, wheel gun or semi-automatic. I don't know. Cause, you know, sometimes it can be hard to pop the slide on the semi-automatic. Whereas, you know, wheel gun ain't got much in the way of safety. You understand? And by the way, these little snippets of dialogue come from real conversations overheard in real freedom protecting stores. Vester Flanagan, in his manifesto, discusses how he was attacked for being a gay black man. He says he's been attacked by black men and white females. He's been the victim of racial discrimination, sexual harassment, and bullying at work. Of course, this is in no wise a defense. He doesn't need one. He's dead. Yes, it will sound like I am angry. I am. I have every right to be. But when I leave this earth, the only emotion I want to feel is peace. The church shooting was the tipping point, but my anger has been building steadily. I've been a human powder keg for a while, just waiting to go boom. Wow. So, we've got a lot to talk about this evening if you want to discuss it. And I think, you know, I want to be clear. I don't care to discuss this from the standpoint of having a topic on a talk radio show. That's why I avoid the use of the word show in conjunction with what goes on here. I prefer the word program. We've built a little community here, and it would be interesting, it would be nice, it would be perhaps reassuring if we could feel like we had come to some sort of an understanding, perhaps even a way forward. I'll start. What if, when purchasing a firearm, one had to purchase at the same time and be able to provide upon inquiry at any time proof of insurance against harm, potential harm caused by that firearm? You can't go and buy an automobile without having it insured as before you get it off the lot. New, used, good condition, beater, makes no difference. If you're in a mandatory insurance states, and most of the states are mandatory insurance states now, you got to be able to show the proof of insurance. And in a place like West Virginia, the statutory minimums on automobile insurance liability coverage are 20-40. 20 per person, $20,000 per person, $40,000 per occurrence. It is ridiculously low. Because you can rack up $20,000 in damages with a trip to the emergency room. But why not? Hell, let the Freedom Protector stores sell the insurance. That way they'll make money. They'll make money off that too. And after all, the firearms industry, for all its veneer and claptrap about freedom and about how we've got to have, you know, we got to have guns in case the government decides to put its jackbooted boots down on our innocent white necks. Because it's always white folks talking about the jackbooted government thugs. Regardless of all that talk, it's about money. The business of America is business. And insurance is great business. Insurance is a wonderful business. A lot of the time, you pay the money to the insurance company, the insurance never pays you anything back, and everybody's happy with that. I mean, so 2040, I think, is too low. How about $500,000? Because, see, odds are, when it comes to firearms, I mean, 2040, okay, maybe you back into somebody there at McDonald's or something. Okay, a little fender bender, 20-40-10. Yeah, you'll probably, right. But how about $500,000? How much do you suppose and you know what? I bet somewhere in the insurance industry they've already started looking at this. How much do you suppose a $500,000 liability policy for a firearm would cost? And of course, if we're using the auto insurance industry as the barometer here, you know, of course, that it is much more expensive to insure a young male than it is to insure an older female, because older women have the fewest amount of accidents. Uh-huh. And, of course, in order to be able to purchase auto insurance, you have to own a car. And in order to operate a car, you have to have a driver's license. So maybe we got that. You know, that's a legislative fix. Nobody's telling anybody they can't have a gun. You can have all the guns you can afford to insure, and every month that insurance company bill will come due just as sure as the sun rises and sets, although it really doesn't. Maybe the insurance rates on maybe we only do it with handguns. Maybe we don't do it with hunting rifles. I don't know. But these are the kinds of things that a legislative body can debate and come to compromise and consensus on. My purpose in offering this portion up is to suggest that it is not impossible for us to have a meaningful discussion about this, except for the gun goobers. You know, the people who walk around with tea bags hanging from their hats and holler about scrubbing cantaloupes and that silly garbage. You can't have a discussion with them.
When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have. You can have it when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. Melon lave!
But we could have that discussion. We could pass the Congress of the United States in Congress assembled could have a bill that simply says every state shall have a mandatory minimum amount of insurance required for firearm ownership. And here's the funny thing. For those people who have home arsenals, for those people who collect firearms and use them as, and in God knows in Appalachia this is true, firearms are some of your most liquid assets. You can always find a buyer for a firearm. And if you collect the things, you know, the really fancy schmancy Browning shotguns made in Belgium, that kind of thing, you insure them. And you keep them in the safe. And when you take one out to show it to your neighbor, when you're done, you wipe it down with a diaper. Because you don't want fingerprints and smudges and body oils on. That can affect the bluing and affect the value of the firearm, you know. And yes, you tell your homeowner's company, I got a house full of really expensive guns. And it goes on your contents coverage. It can be done. See? And why do you put the insurance on those guns? Because in a place like Appalachia, since they are so easily liquidatable, then when some meth tweaker or pillhead breaks into your home to steal whatever isn't nailed down and they get your precious guns, well, then you call up your friendly insurance adjuster and say, the tweaker's got my guns. And they say, well, you know, does the list match? And you tell them what's gone. And they go, and then they send you a check. Yeah. Now, that I'm not talking about liability for using the damn thing. Ron in Raleigh says, I wonder when the first asshole is going to put up a White Lives Matter post in relation to this crime. Oh, it's already happened. Oh, yeah. It's already there. Wingnuts over on Twitter have already gotten busy. Dana Loesch, you know who she is.
Do all lives matter yet?
Vester Flanagan single-handedly destroys Black Lives Matter movement, manifesto upcoming. Dana Loesch again. She's disgusting. And as Mark just pointed out, another shooting less than an hour ago. This ain't nothing. This ain't going to be nothing but hateful. Because the right wing specializes in hateful. So let's talk about this. I don't care to filibuster about it. I'm more or less at a loss for much more for me to say about it. I suspect you, however, have plenty. And so the lines are open. 304-574-8178, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. That's the stress line. We all sure do miss Bill. How about that? Isaac just tweeted something to me from The Hill, thehill.com. House bill would require gun owners to have liability insurance. The Firearm Risk Protection Act. Story goes back to May the 29th. Would require gun buyers to have liability insurance coverage before being allowed to purchase a weapon and would impose a fine of $10,000 if an owner is found not to have it. Service members and law enforcement officers, however, would be exempt from the requirement. It's a start. Tim from LA. How hard is it? Insurance sounds great. Well, at least in California, you can buy all the pistols you want, yet you need to take a written state-sponsored firearm safety test. If you pass, you get a permit to legally purchase a pistol. After you get your permit, you can purchase a pistol, pay the DROS dealer record of sale fee, which is around $25, and wait 14 days to receive your rifle and shotgun and 30 days for a pistol. Each pistol will be 14 to 30 days, so if you buy 10 pistols, you'll get your 10th pistols in 300 days. Neat, huh? That's why I don't have a pistol. Do you much need one, Tim? Okay, then. So, we will take a brief break. I will try to collect my wits. And you'll light up the phones. One already on hold. The stress line, however, is open and easy to use. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Like
I got a note from Ron in Raleigh. He said, I was going to send that song, but I thought, why bother? Bob will play it anyway. That's because Ron in Raleigh and I think the same way. Lynyrd Skynyrd, of course, Saturday Night Special. And a reminder that once upon a time, Lynyrd Skynyrd actually, well, they handled topics from a somewhat Southern fried progressive point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine anybody being able to get it? The NRA, I don't know, does the current incarnation, such as it is, of Lynyrd Skynyrd even play that in concert anymore? Does the NRA allow them? I don't know. But let's, thanks very kindly to Kathleen for helping out just a few minutes ago. We now have only $100 to go in fundraising this evening. Thank you very, very kindly. And over to the Skype line we go, and there's Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Howdy there.
Hola.
Oh, how Mexican of you.
I'm trying to be multicultural.
Yes, you are. Don't let Donald Trump hear you.
Well, he'll probably have me thrown out of my own house.
Indeed. You illegal you.
Absolutely. Where do we start?
Well, you know, I got to work at probably about 5:45 this morning. And, of course, you all are an hour ahead of me, so it happened at 6:45. So pretty much just as I was walking in the door to the office, all the bells and whistles were going off on all my i-whatevers. And so I queued up MSNBC on one and CNN on the other because, you know, I thought maybe they'd have some really cool graphics on Chicken Noodle News. And it was just, it was awful. I mean, first of all, I couldn't believe that they played the whole, I couldn't believe that they were playing the whole video.
See, I have deliberately not seen that. I don't care to.
It was bad.
But no, really? Chicken Noodle News? Let's see that again.
Yeah. But I think the worst one was the snuff film that the shooter made. Because that's really what it was.
Yes, it was. I mean, this marks a new phase in America's Butcher's Bill lottery. Because now, and it'll be out there. I mean, as quickly as it was announced that he was tweeting from his Bryce Williams handle, Twitter ran to shut that down.
Yeah.
And, of course, but it was too late. It was already up out there. And we gaze in. On the one hand, some of us don't want to see that sort of thing. But on the other, we, dang, really?
And, of course, I'm always curious to see how all of the news outlets are going to cover it. So, I just, curiosity got the best of me. I had to go to Breitbart and sneak a peek.
Oh, you just waded right into the sewer, didn't you?
Oh, well, if you're going to go in, you might as well go into the deep end first. Well, I compared their headlines. On the day after Dylann Roof shut up the AA church, and today. Now, here was the headline when Dylann Roof shut up the AME church. Dylann Roof, ultimate lone wolf, left blames right anyway. Today, black reporters suspected of executing white colleagues on live television. Racial motives suspected. Update, suspect shoots self.
Well, now, somewhat.
That was a real eye-opener. And I thought, yeah, this is what they hang their hat on. This is what the gun humpers hang their hat on, is this kind of crap.
Well, and it's all over out there. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is already and see, I knew better. I knew better, Carol, because I was sitting there. I too, was watching MSNBC. And I thought, I wonder how they're handling this over on Fox. And the little angelic Fred Flintstone that sits on my right shoulder said, don't go there. Don't go there. The little devil one on my left shoulder was going, yeah, but you know you want to. But the little angelic Fred Flintstone on my right shoulder won out, and I didn't. But that's okay. They've already clipped it out for us. Gretchen Carlson just doesn't understand, Carol. Gretchen just doesn't understand. Stand by.
Listening to the live press conference now, that's Virginia State Police. They were talking about how the trooper there had a tag reader and was able to get the license plate, waited for backup in order to try and make that stop. Of course, that is when the suspect, Bryce Williams, shot himself and crashed that vehicle. He has now since passed away. Paul Vialas is the CEO of Vialas Group International and host of the Security Brief. He's in studio with me now. Is this a hate crime, Paul?
No, Gretchen, it's not. This is quintessential workplace violence from the beginning.
Is this a hate crime? Don't you? Because that's where she went. Yeah. Because that's where
if
you're...
Was in the heart of the shooter? Isn't that the right answer?
Well, apparently not. But she's not happy, Gretchen isn't. Wow.
Behavioral profile of the individual to the actions that he displayed from the manifesto to from the time he was terminated in 2013.
But it says in the manifesto that he wrote 23 pages and faxed to ABC News and now in the hands of Fox. He talks about race a lot. He put the initials of the Charleston church shooting victims on the bullets that he used today. He praised the Virginia Tech mass killer, the Columbine High School killers, says he was being attacked for being a gay black man. He shot three white people today.
Right.
Now, why is that not a hate crime?
Well, because of the fact that the workplace violence offender is clearly delusional. They make up their own sense of reality, and they struggle with their sense of identity. So they don't like who they are. They make up something that will envision them as a victim, as the quintessential victim. It's the finger pointing. Now, hate crime is something where he clearly was motivated by sense of race, color,
but
or
he
creed.
Was. He says that the Charleston church shootings were his tipping point.
Right, the tipping point for attention seeking. He saw the attention. He saw the attention that was received from that shooter all over the country, and that particular shooter was glorified on the news in his eyes. That's why he picked this time of the day to shoot these two people.
She didn't like that.
Oh, she ain't having none of that.
But it's...
Now, Rufy used the language of lynching before he killed his victims.
Right.
But we don't know what was in the heart of the shooter.
We can't never, can we?
We can't never, because he did.
But no, this is all... Do all lives matter now, huh?
You know, and here's the thing, the manifesto... I waded through about half of it. It's a rambling suicide note. Why is everybody trying to make it sound more noble than it really is?
Suicide note. Well, because if you say manifesto, that makes it sound like he was something other than a miserable human being who took it out on other people. It was a suicide note. That's exactly what it is. But you know what? We live in an era now, Carol, where suicide notes have to be manifestos. We live in an era where, where everything has to be bigger and more horrifying than it already is. You know, it was, 2 days ago here in West Virginia when a 14-year-old kid held a bunch of his classmates hostage with, of course, you know, a firearm, and that's, you know, that's a terrorist situation now.
Yeah,
but no, so everything's got to be God only knows what. So we have a black man, apparently a black gay man, who, according to him, was subjected to racism, And frankly, inside a as brutal a medium as television news, I can imagine that. Can you imagine, I don't know. Here's our next question. Will the Oath Keepers begin standing around outside all of our television stations now?
Oh, if they thought they could get some press on it, they probably would. Don't give them any ideas.
Somebody's got to protect our brave journalists. The government won't do it.
This is not getting better. This is getting worse.
I know, because we live in a country where everyone is being taught on a daily basis, as more and more of these things happen, that the only answer is to arm yourself. Be paranoid. Be, you know, they're all out there. They're all coming to get you, the big boogie monster, you know. And instead of resolving, you know, I have to go back to what a teacher told me. She said, you know, you get one little rascal on the schoolyard grounds that picks up a rock and decides to whip it at somebody, hits a kid in the head. She said, we do not arm all of the kids on the playground with rocks. You take the goddamn rock away from the little rock thrower.
That's way too complex for the NRA.
Well, obviously, because, you know, the only thing that stops a bad kid with a rock is a good kid with a rock.
Or a better kid with a gun.
Oh, true. True. But it's like, I think I lost hope after Sandy Hook. I thought that we live in a country where we don't care if 20-some little first graders get massacred in a school. The answer is more guns. We don't attempt to solve the problem and look at it from another direction. We just, no, now we want to arm teachers. We want to put armed guards. We want to put armed guards in movie theaters. And there's an outfit called Regal Theaters. Oh, well, now they're going to start going through, bags. Okay. So what are they going to get? All the contraband soda and candy out of everybody's bag? Do you really think that somebody who's interested in shooting up a movie theater is going to hide his Freedom Protector and his MERS? Are they going to be patting people
down? Is that a word? It is now, but I didn't know it was a MERS. I'll be damned.
A man purse. You never heard that?
I thought it was a European messenger bag.
No, it's called a MERS.
Okay.
So are they gonna check to make sure there's no gun strapped to their ankles or tucked down the back of their pants behind their jacket? No. So it's like, fuck you, Regal Theaters. I'm still not going to the theater. It all sounds good, but it doesn't.
Because they'll go through your MERS and mm-hmm. get your contraband box of Jujubes.
That's it.
But they're not going to spring for a metal detector.
No.
Or one of those airport X-ray devices.
No, a wand. No, we wouldn't do that.
I mean, hell, the little club where I go to see the occasional aging rock and roll act over in Beckley, you get wanded going through the door.
I like that.
Because, you know, bars, shootings, Lynyrd Skynyrd, there you go. But Regal, but Regal Cinemas, no. Of course,
I'm sitting there thinking, Bob, what good does it do to win the whole fight on marriage equality and gay rights if all they have to do is shoot every gay person they don't like? They win.
And you accuse me of giving people ideas.
Well, but they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're so fucking frustrated in Washington because everybody's so terrified of the NRA. Collectively, Congress should stand up to them and go, screw you. Screw you. Look at what you've done to our country. You know, Ezra Klein, I love that guy. He was like the best part of the Washington Post.
And when he left, he started this website called Vox.com. And he did a really good piece today called Gun Violence. Well, it wasn't him, but it's his publication. Gun Violence in America and 17 Maps and Charts, because, you know, nobody loves a Venn diagram like Ezra Klein.
Right.
So he listed these 17 uniquely distinct things about America with gun violence. We have 6 times as many firearm homicides as Canada and 15 times as many as Germany. That's per capita. And, for example, in Australia, 1.4 out of every million people dies of gun violence. The next highest developed country under us is Switzerland, 7.7 people in a million. In the United States, 29.7 out of every million people die at the hands of guns. That's a lot.
Yeah.
America has 4.4% of the world's population, but almost half of the civilian-owned guns around the world. There have been at least 885 mass shootings since Sandy Hook. 885. And that count comes from Mass Shooting Tracker. Now, I get that that's a crowdsourced database that tracks all the shootings since 2013. I know it's missing some, and some of the shootings are missing details. And they complain that there's a very broad definition of mass shooting. And the people at Mass Shooting Tracker defended that in that they said, for instance, in 2012, a man named Tavis Steed and others shot 18 people total. Miraculously, only one was killed. Under the incorrect definition of a mass shooting, that event would not be considered a mass shooting. Arguing that 18 people shot during a single event is not a mass shooting is absurd. So they changed their own definition. But so even under the broad definition, mass shootings make up a tiny portion of American firearm deaths, which totaled more than 32,000 in 2013. And there is a mass shooting almost every day in this country. I think,
you know, they had to turn the schools loose. What was it, yesterday or day before in Augusta, Georgia?
Well, they had all the schools in Roanoke locked down all day until that guy killed himself.
And for people not familiar with that, this is particularly interesting. The shooting happened at 6:45 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Mm-hmm.
He was finally found having shot himself at the 18-mile marker of I-66.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means he had to get on I-64 westbound, drive to Augusta County, Virginia, mm-hmm. got on I-81 northbound, and it's a rock-solid 100-plus miles up to the intersection with I-66.
Mm-hmm.
And as the thing developed, as I was watching it, you had the governor of the Old Dominion announcing that an arrest was expected imminently, and police are in pursuit. Turns out that Terry McAuliffe didn't know from Shinola.
He didn't. He was way off
about what was going on. And what's particularly interesting, you know where you're going if you take I-66 eastbound from I-81? You know where you're headed?
D.C.?
Yeah. And no one can know what his plan was, or if there was one. But the other part of this, beyond the ease of access to firearms, which remains central to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The Jehovah business. You got any insight on that? Because the minute I saw, you know, not God told me to, or my personal Lord and Savior told me to, or the crucified Christ told me to.
Maybe he was a Jehovah's Witness.
Was he a Jehovah's Witness?
I don't know. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Not that any of this makes a goddamn bit of sense.
Well, no, and maybe that's where the fault lies, trying to impose some sense of reason on an irrational circumstance.
Exactly. You know, and my biggest fear in this whole thing, Bob, is that he did something that had never been done before. He executed two people on live television this morning. Her parents were watching on TV. The cameraman's fiance was the EP.
Was in the control room.
In the control room. And she watched it. You know, these were local young people who grew up. Everybody knew them. And you know, we talk about the 6 degrees of separation. It took me 15 minutes for my first posting to have somebody pop up and go, I have a friend who is close friends with that family. Well, I only got to 3 degrees before I know somebody who knows somebody who knows them.
And I suspect you're correct. This does mark...
It bothers me because I'm waiting for the next person to, you know, go big or go home. Who's going to...
No, I mean, yeah, because this was just recorded. I mean, if you really want to do it live, you know, Bill O'Reilly, you know, we'll do it live.
That's just it, is it was live.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about when live is what is happening in your hand.
Mm.
He was reliant upon their technology for it to be live this morning.
That's true.
But it's possible for you to send it out live from your phone.
Oh, that is true.
And I think that's
the whole thing that has been in the back of my head all day is that now, I mean, we are a nation who fucking loves our guns and we love reality TV. And now we can have live execution. That scares me, Bob.
Well, yeah, it scares you because of what this country is. Because of who this country is. I mean, the Lynyrd Skynyrd bumper, you know, they did it, that lyric does a good job of describing why Saturday Night Specials were so much trouble. You know, been drinking liquor and playing poker and losing and you know, bang. And in a way, at the time that they wrote that song, it's hard to imagine that this country was actually a little more innocent then.
Oh yeah. And you know, I said from the very beginning this morning when I first started sending out tweets and I first started putting Facebook updates, I said this is all going to end with the phrase, a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Well, sure, it has to.
It has to. Why do these crazy bastards have to do this? Why can't they just, if they're going to do a murder-suicide, why can't they just skip to the second part and take themselves out first and see how the rest goes? I don't get it. I don't, this whole thing of taking out people you don't know. It was like that movie producer, Son Out in California, that mowed down all those people on that Saturday night, you know? It just...
Because he couldn't... The one who couldn't get a date?
Yeah, the one who was so gorgeous and couldn't imagine why girls just weren't in love with him and he was going to get back at the world. Because really, guns allow people to kill themselves far more easily. If you're gonna slit your wrist, you've only got about a 5% chance of dying that way before somebody finds you and gets you help. If you're gonna poison yourself, about like 7-8% chance. Shoot yourself 96.5% of the time, you're gonna die.
And so this is good. So it's going to happen again.
Sure.
And now that we've been shown the way, it's a new medium, isn't it?
That's the thing that terrifies me, Bob.
I mean, held the phone in one hand.
A GoPro camera, I think.
Oh, was it a GoPro camera?
That's what I heard. Because the picture was pretty damn clear.
And the pistol in the other.
Got around behind the cameraman and took him up. I think he took the cameraman out first.
And the like I said before, the Washington Times running that photograph, you know, sleazy bastards.
Well, you know, and it was bad enough that the last thing that her parents heard was her screaming in terror right before she died, before they cut away. And that poor anchor woman sitting there with her jaw on the desk didn't know what to say. And I have to tell you, the station manager, the general manager coming out, was so... You could tell he was unnerved, but he was very calm, and he was doing his best to calm everybody in the studio. He was doing his best to calm people in the audience. He was saying all the right things. It was elegant in the worst of times. I watched that part live, and he handled it very well. And he was very honest. Later on, I heard an interview that he did with somebody on MSNBC later on. And they were asking about this guy. And he was like, I'm not going to soft soap it. I fired him. He said, I'm not going to lie to you. He was a guy who could speak well. He could do a good on-camera report. But there were so many problems with other people in the and it just escalated and escalated, and it was obvious that he was at the center of all of it. He said, I fired him. And he sued the station for racism, got nothing out of it. The EEOC found that there were no grounds for anything. And I've worked with people like him before. I've worked with those passive aggressive people who just hate everybody. And I mean, they're territorial. They do everything but piss on the door frames to mark their territory and just sit and make your life miserable. I've worked with people like that before. I don't wait around for them to go postal. I leave. I'll find another job. I'll figure something out.
Apparently
he sounded like a really pissed off guy who liked playing the victim.
Well, and I think he wanted to be perceived in a certain way in certain quarters it is almost necrophilic. What he did in terms of the victims of the Charleston shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, in putting their name, and who knows if he did. But, you know, saying that he put their names on his bullets.
Mm-hmm.
That was another attempt at some sort of infamy, wasn't it?
It was, and in one breath he's like condemning Dylann Roof, and in the next breath he's holding up the Virginia Tech shooter and the Columbine twits as some sort of heroes. And I'm like, man, have you looked in the mirror and seen what color you are?
And that's what... There have been periods in this country's bloody history where something like this has resulted in things that are far more awful for the community of color.
Yep.
And I fear that something similar may occur. Don't want to give anybody any... I don't think anybody listening to this program is going to be getting any ideas.
Yeah, I don't think anybody here is going to thin out the neighborhood and then send some manifesto to the local news station and call it community betterment.
But I keep coming back to the fact that we're not going to do anything about this.
We're not going to do anything about it. I was convinced after absolutely nothing happened over Sandy Hook. Here's the thing, is we have a mass shooting virtually every day in this country. And anytime anyone goes to address the problem of gun violence, they're accused of politicizing a tragedy. Well, by design, that means that no one can ever talk about it because we're always just... If it doesn't happen today, it's going to happen. It's always too soon.
Right. Yeah, can't talk about that yet. Why are you politicizing this? Right.
That's right. So the president can never say anything about it because he's just capitalizing on a trade.
Oh, but no. This is what you get of 8 years about Obama dividing America. See, the blacks are coming after us now. We better get our guns.
It didn't take 5 minutes for right-wingers on Twitter to start blaming President Obama for today's shootings. And I refuse to call it a tragedy or anything. And that word horrific, I want to vomit every time I fucking hear it.
Oh, see,
it's not horrific. It's predictable.
Yeah, and, well, my feeling on the word tragedy. Tragedy implies that the victim had it coming.
Yeah.
But at least that's what the word tragedy means from the original Greek. I mean, can we also put on the list, I think journalistically we can go forever now without anybody ever saying shots rang out.
Yeah.
Because
do they do anything else?
I don't know. I guess not. And every time some reporter needing to make this somehow more real for the viewers, Jesus, really, said when the shots rang out this morning, all I hear is you two in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Yeah.
It's. These things are hard to describe, but sometimes they're made hard to describe because people want to want them to have more color than they need. Blood is enough color.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need it to be terribly overly descriptive.
And it creeps me out. That I know that the nature of for-profit media is such that there was a producer or maybe a salesperson somewhere going, oh man, this is going to be good for business.
Yes.
And yeah, the update coming out of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Master Trooper Brooks David with Louisiana State Police says an officer was shot and two people stabbed in Sunset, Louisiana this afternoon. Body is still on the lawn of the home where the stabbing and shooting reportedly took place. Suspect inside a convenience store on Napoleon at this hour. There's a hostage negotiator on the scene. They can hear the suspect sneezing from the tear gas. And apparently it had to do with a domestic disturbance of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
At least one person was stabbed and a responding officer was shot. There may be one more shooting victim. Because America.
Freedom.
Well, I mean, we've gotten to where we just throw that around offhandedly, and I'm guilty, 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 guilty. But can we take a minute, Carol, and try to imagine an America, I mean, really, really. I mean, and I would even invite they're not allowed on this program, but through the fog of the right wing's paranoia, what would a gunless America look like?
Leave it to Beaver at this point.
We have...
what did you say, 32,000 shootings in 2013?
Gun deaths. Not shootings, gun deaths.
Okay.
That's how many Americans died. I would say a much larger number was shot and didn't die.
Point taken.
So if that's the case, would the argument from the gun goobers be that we would have 64,000 gun deaths if it weren't for the fact that we are gunned up beyond all comprehension?
Well, that sort of is their argument, and of course, it doesn't... You'd think this tired old thing, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, by your definition, defibrillators don't save people either. You know?
People, you know, save people.
People save people. No, it's a tool that you use to finish a job. And it's a very effective one. Far better than poison or knives or machetes or Chinese stars or anything else. Guns are proficient in getting
the gun. And so we don't dare take that risk.
I think we dare take the risk.
I mean, do you think gun deaths would double in this country if we somehow miraculously were able to rid ourselves of this pestilence?
No, I don't think that at all.
After Australia finally did something about firearms after the Port Arthur massacre, mm-hmm. Did gun deaths double there?
No. Australia is actually the safest place to live with regards to gun violence anywhere in the developed world.
So the purpose of this line of inquiry is to just try to shine the light of a little bit of reality. I mean, if we suddenly became a less firearmed society, it wouldn't devolve into Mad Max overnight.
No, far from it. Just the opposite would happen.
So what about the right wing argument that, well, the criminals is always going to be able to get their guns?
Mm-hmm. Not as easily.
Well, where do the criminals get their guns now?
From good guys with guns.
Yeah.
They break into their houses and steal them.
They drive down from places like New York and Chicago.
Mm-hmm. They go to places where it's really easy to get them.
And they buy their guns often through straw purchasers in places like Georgia and Arkansas and West Virginia and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So if we did something about it in all 50 states, the available supply would dry up, right?
Absolutely.
And could we maybe, and you know how I feel about the death penalty.
Sure.
But I'm trying to brainstorm here a little bit. I really do, because I'm sick and tired of saying nothing is going to happen.
Well, I get tired of saying it too, but I don't know how it's not going to change when the NRA just says, well, we'll just find somebody more radical to run against you and pour tens of millions of dollars into it and start a smear campaign against you. And all the reasonable centrists have all been forced out of Washington in exactly that way.
So what would happen if we said, we take the necessary steps to reduce firearm ownership in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, let's say the Congress passes a law and gets signed into law by the president that says any person committing any crime, mm-hmm. any crime with a mm-hmm. firearm
mm-hmm.
is automatically eligible for the death penalty.
Or life in prison without...
No, I'm being generous here. I want to make the right wingers feel safe, and they love them some death penalty.
You want to give them something that they'll love.
Yeah.
I got it. I'm with you. All right. All right. I concede.
And and it's not going to be any sissy state law. It's going to be a federal law, federal jurisdiction, federal, the United States District Attorney for whatever district, and we will kill your ass.
Televise it, and they'll all go for it. You have to monetize this somehow to make it really attractive.
Would they bite?
Sunday night executions.
Oh,
get
yeah, and we,
morning,
I mean, we
go to church, have Sunday dinner, and the whole family gathers around the television set for Sunday night at the penitentiary.
Of course, you know what would happen.
What?
You know who the you know who the majority of executions would be.
Oh, they'd all be black.
We're kind of trapped, aren't we?
Yeah. They kind of got us by the cojones.
But, I mean, that was surprising when Isaac sent me that story from earlier this year about the insurance bill.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really would be interesting to find out what a $100,000 policy for liability for firearms would cost.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know I carry more than the statutory minimums on my automobile liability insurance because.
But I think they should have to carry compensation too.
Well, sure. I mean, that's what it is.
But more than just liability, you know, and if you got an old car or something, you only have to carry liability on it. But if you own enough, if you own a new enough car or a nice house or something, you're going to carry comp and collision on everything. Because the higher you make that insurance fence, the harder it's going to be for somebody to leap over it and take your shit.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think it's in the form of liability insurance, though. I mean, you'd want coverage for what happens if you negligently shoot someone, or if someone, you know, what happens if someone takes your gun and shoots somebody else or shoots you.
There you go.
I mean, at least, and this really is at least in the circumstance we're describing this evening. At least there would be a policy to go after from the two victims or
Absolutely.
Their representatives.
And ammunition should just be outrageously expensive.
Nah, I think they're onto that.
We can't regulate guns. Can't we regulate ammunition?
Well, that's something that Ron up in Canada said a few minutes ago. How about this for a new rule? You can buy a gun, but you can only have one bullet. Use it as you will.
Well, Chris Rock had it right. Bullets should cost $3,000 each. That'd slow them down.
But the thing, there are, and the phrase you have to use whenever you talk about this, Carol, is common sense alternatives. I mean, the ultimate common sense is just don't have one.
Yeah, which is why they're not in my house. We had that conversation a couple of weeks ago.
Barring certain circumstances in which you can make a pretty compelling argument for having one. Just because you're paranoid and you sit around watching Fox all day does not mean you need a firearm.
Nope.
I mean, the story that the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas stand told. You know, about her parents.
Yes.
There are just places where, no gun. I mean, the thing in Augusta, Georgia, what, yesterday, day before?
Yeah.
Kid took a gun to school.
Yep.
Because freedom.
Yep.
And was sitting there kind of messing with it in his desk. I don't know if it was one of those desks with the top that opens up or whatever, but I guess it fell and it went off. And that means there was a round in the chamber, and it grazed the leg of little Susie. and the entirety of whatever county that is in Georgia went into sweat condition alpha. The schools were all locked down. I mean, it was pretty obvious that it was one person.
Yeah.
There was no hostage situation, but we have to respond the same way to everything. Because there is no discretion permitted in this country anymore either.
No.
So the school gets locked down. The parents have to come and pick their kids up early, which in itself is a nightmare for most working parents. On top of the nightmare of a gun at school.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that's Monday.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it sounds like to someone not in the United States where this is not a problem.
I don't know, Bob, but I'll tell you, I'm to the point now to where I won't go to a movie theater anymore. Not around here, where they love their guns and they love their freedom and they hate that one in our White House. I'm not going. HBO, it's not television, it's survival. I'll wait. Why do I not? I bet you I haven't, you know, before shopping malls were all the rage for people to express their rage. And then, no, you know, shopping malls are so passe since movie theaters.
Oh, that's so 90s.
Oh, my God, it's so 2000s. So, you know, but I don't think I've been in a shopping mall maybe once in 5 years. When I found out Amazon.com, for as shitty as they treat their people, them motherfuckers deliver right to my door in Hooterville. And I don't have to go anywhere. And I have never been shot pulling one of them boxes off my porch.
That's because you're not ordering firearms from Amazon.
You're right.
But no, the point is well taken. But if you
everybody's screaming at me, am I supposed to stay in my house? I'm not suggesting you do a goddamn thing. I'm saying this is what I'm doing. Bob, 60 is coming fast for me. I didn't make it through this many years of my life to get killed in the grocery store because, you know, little Cletus Jr. found the pocket on Mama's purse with her freedom protector and decided to take it out and play with it while she was out checking out the deal on canned peas three for a dollar. It's not how I want to go.
No. No, no. But the thing is, that's a reality, too. And we come back to the initial moment where this train of events arguably begins, and that's when he puts the money on the counter and they hand him the gun.
Yeah.
You know what he had to do in order to get the firearm?
I don't show his driver's license.
Yeah, he had to sign a statement saying, I am not mentally ill. No, really, I promise. I'm not. And neither's the other guy in my head.
Yeah.
that's how the firearm salesman in this country knows that you're not too mentally ill to have a firearm. You tell him you're not.
Works every time, because why would I lie?
And you know what? Sometimes people purchase them and they're not mentally ill. They just get that way later.
True enough.
Although, let's be quite clear about this, Carol. Had he lived, this shooter, I'd say the odds are about 1,000,000 to 1 against that he would have been found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Probably not. The Colorado shooter got what? 12 life sentences and 3,000 some odd years on top of that? And I thought he was crazy.
You know, Randy in PA has a pretty interesting observation here. He said, maybe Congress would listen to us if we said that we won't go shopping at the mall anymore. That we won't go to the movies. We won't go to football games. But see, the problem there is the other side. They've got guns, and they say,
Well, hell no, we're going. We're just going to take our guns with us.
Good, let them go.
And that's and but
because I promise you, by halftime, the herd will be thinned.
But you, I mean, you can't get away from it entirely.
No, you can't.
If I have to go down for cheap blood work Tuesday down to the clinic.
Yep.
And I sit in that waiting room, and Billy Joe Jim Bob comes in with a hog leg strapped to his hip.
Yep.
My blood pressure does go up.
And there ain't nothing you can do about it.
And there ain't a damn thing I can do about it.
That's right. Same thing here.
Except turn around and leave and not get my blood work done. Which is apparently against medical advice.
The annual festival here in town. I got maybe 10 feet into it, and I saw somebody with a gun strapped to his hip. I knew exactly who it was. I know just how freaking crazy he is. And I said, nope, done. Going home. Didn't even get down the middle of the midway.
I mean, you want to take care of your car, but you show up at the damn Jiffy Lube, and there's Billy Joe Bob Bubba Jim with his hog leg on his hip. Only this is a different Billy Joe Bob Bubba Jim.
Yep.
Because he's protecting freedom.
Yep.
I mean, I can't. Well, I mean, you know where I live. I can't tell you the number of places that are part of my daily existence. The stuff you just have to do that are now impacted by some, in my community, white guy with a gun.
Yep.
And what do you do? I mean, I've heard our friend Malloy say, you know, what you do is you holler, man with a gun, and you start dialing 911.
And then the police show up.
Well, the problem is the dumb bastard with the gun will pull out his gun and start looking for the man with the gun because it can't possibly be him because he's protecting freedom.
Well, the whole thing is like when Gabby Giffords got shot, they were all screaming, you know, if only there had been somebody there with a gun. Well, there was a guy there with a gun and he pulled it and he looked up and saw somebody with a gun in their hand. What he didn't realize at the moment was that it was a civilian who had taken Loeffner's gun. He almost shot one of the people who saved everybody. Thank God he had the good sense to have a little restraint. He almost shot an innocent person.
And I was told in the chat room earlier, the reporter was the first one to be shot this morning. And then the cameraman was shot.
I've heard it both ways, but I thought when I saw the video, I thought she got shot first. And then somebody said it was the cameraman.
But in either instance, I mean, if that moment televised for the world to see.
Oh, yeah. Live executions.
If that does not prove that a good guy with the gun can't do a damn thing in that situation, nothing else will. But then again, we kind of had that argument about Sandy Hook, too, didn't we?
Yes, we did. You know, at some point, you have to do your job. You can't just stand there with a gun, you know, looking furtively around everywhere waiting for somebody to get you, or you're not doing your job. The reporter was doing her job. The cameraman was doing his job. He had a camera hoisted up on his shoulder doing his job. They were helpless. Had they been armed, it wouldn't have mattered.
And, you know, the shootings in Chattanooga.
Yeah. The idea that people should have carried guns into a church to protect themselves, when churches are the one place that the black community have always been able to go and not fear violence, other than, you know, when people blow them up. But, I mean, they don't expect it inside their church. That was their sanctuary.
But even having the gun, Carol, if somebody's got the drop on you, you lose.
You do lose.
unless in the, I mean, how much help was a firearm on the Thales train in Arras last week?
Not much.
The only thing that saved them, according to the rescuers, was the fact that dude didn't know how to use one. They said if he'd known how to use that firearm, we'd have all been in a lot worse shape than we were.
I have a message for Michael and Madison. I'm sorry. I understand we're totally harshing his mellow tonight.
Are we harshing Michael's mellow? Yes.
Apparently. Truth does that every damn time. Sorry, yeah.
But... Well, and it does. I mean... But... I think about the number of times... I always think about the right-wing loser at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist conversation in congregation in Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Who was going to get some liberals because Bernie Goldberg and O'Reilly and Michael Savage and Limbaugh had told him that was what was wrong with America. And he was taken down by brave people who just said, screw it, and without a firearm, disarmed him.
Yeah.
You know, Steve in New York says, who actually lives in a world where we are constantly looking around suspicious of every person we come in contact with? Who actually wants to live in that world and why?
Well,
unfortunately, Steve, I already do.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to be, I guess, hyper aware of one's circumstances is sort of obligatory when you live somewhere. I mean, Steve's fortunate, he's in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a dim view of people walking around with a gun strapped to their hip.
Yes, they do.
Or, you know, or an AR-15 slung over their shoulder.
To go into Chili's.
Yeah, right. But I don't live in that world. I live in a world where the odds are even at best. If I take my grandchildren and walk in to the McDonald's in the town where they live, the odds are even there will be someone sitting down there with a goddamn gun on their hip.
That's right. Because you never know when the Hamburglar is going to come.
And you know what? Zero tolerance for Hamburglars.
Clearly.
And so you do have to have that kind of awareness. It's weird. It's freaky. It's bizarre to be standing in line at Wally World and have a guy walk up behind you with the heel of his hand resting on the grip of a 357 Magnum and a jug of milk in the other.
Yeah.
And it is a sense of powerlessness and fear that I'm challenged to be able to even describe.
Well, I just don't understand why their right to be paranoid trumps my right to be able to just go out and do the normal everyday things that Americans are supposed to be able to do without fear of having one of these idiots lose control of their weapons, which happens every goddamn day in this country.
And see that the thing is, they're no safer than I am. And in fact, they're making the rest of us less safe.
Yeah.
And for the and I'm just licked. Oh, by the way, someone is capitalizing on all of this already because it does pay. There's a program of which I am absolutely unfamiliar. I've never watched it even once.
Tim from L.A. said, Carol was correct when she said this is not a tragedy, but predictable. The show Mr. Robot was postponed because of the shooting in Virginia. You would think that USA Network could have predicted this when the finale was in pre-production, or maybe art imitates life. If Hollywood can predict a tragedy, the members of Congress can do something about it? I guess not. But so Mr. Robot, here's the announcement from USA Network. The previously filmed season finale of Mr. Robot contains a graphic scene similar in nature to today's tragic events in Virginia. Out of respect to the victims, their families and colleagues, and our viewers, we are postponing tonight's episode.
Until next Wednesday.
Our thoughts go out to all those affected during this difficult time.
Yeah, because we have the attention span. Squirrel!
No. Now everybody... Really? Really? We have to wait till next Wednesday?
Okay, next Wednesday it is. All right, well, we'll be watching then, because by then, by a week from now, we will have all forgotten this, and you know what? Their viewership is going to triple.
Of course it is.
Quadruple.
Of course it is.
And the guy in marketing is going to say, that's a good dollar.
Yes, under the subject line, the harshing of the mellow from Michael in Madison. All we are saying is give guns a chance. New Age Rifle Association.
Yeah, I think we did that, Michael.
So,
let's see how that worked out for that anchor. Oh, that's right. We can't ask her.
But don't worry. USA Network will make a tidy profit. Why do you say we're going to postpone this until next Wednesday? Why don't you say, you know what? We're out of respect for the dead. We're not going to show this at all.
At all. Oh, that's just crazy talk.
Yeah, right, because by next Wednesday, there will have been another mass shooting in the United States, absolutely unlike anything in Mr. Robot.
Of course.
And that's okay.
Hey, the day's not over yet. Louisiana could be their saving grace.
Oh, God.
I know. Welcome to America, where we execute people live on television.
And it's a good dollar.
And it's a good dollar. When I
think about all the stuff we've missed this evening, because we've been talking about this, I mean, there's an absolutely deliciously schadenfreude Josh Duggar story out there.
Oh, where he's going to Christian rehab?
Yeah, well, he's going into Christian rehab, but you know why he's going into Christian rehab?
Because the devil made him do it.
No, because his hooker went public.
Oh. What do you want, Cat?
What does Cat Stevens want?
I don't know. He came running in here and tapped me on the shoulder like, come, Timmy's in the well. I don't know what he wants.
Yeah. Apparently, Josh Duggar is into the rough trade.
Yes.
And a woman by the name of Danica Dillon, of course, that's not her real name, answered questions while hooked up to a polygraph machine.
Yeah.
She said he walked into the Gold Club like a normal patron and said he'd been a fan for a long time and has watched my career grow. He even said from before my boob job until recently, and that he loved watching my very first scene on a porn website. Then it got creepy.
Creepy?
Yeah, she's got a sense of comic timing here.
Yes, she does.
But she said that evening he paid for $600 in private dances and asked how much it would cost to spend the entire evening with her.
Didn't it get rough?
It got real rough. He was manhandling me, basically tossing me around like I was a rag doll. It was very traumatic. I've had rough sex before, but this was terrifying. But it was. But she did go ahead and have rough sex with him again, and this time he apologized. He said, I thought we had to do it that way because that's how you done it in your movies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Danica,
she's real. Just ask all the right wingers.
Yeah, Danica said, I think that after I come out, there will probably be plenty more girls after me. I actually really hope that his wife leaves him and takes his children away from him and leaves him a lonely, bitter man. I don't think he deserves happiness.
A hooker in Kansas City already came out and said that she's had sex with him several times.
Oh. Meanwhile, for some reason or another, the most often played song on Anna Duggar's iPod is Frank Zappa's Why Does It Hurt When I Pee? Oh, I got a Betty Rubble out of that.
That was a good one. Sorry, that was good. That was good.
Josh is going into Christian perv rehab.
I was not aware there was a Satan made my pee-pee hard rehab. I did not know that.
I don't think there's any hope for him unless perhaps Marcus Bachman is involved.
Oh, that would be just glorious, wouldn't it?
His parents issued a statement Wednesday on their Facebook page thanking fans for their love, care, and prayers for our family during this most difficult situation with Josh. We are deeply grieved by his decisions and actions. His wrong choices have deeply hurt his precious wife and children and have negatively affected so many others. He has checked himself into a long-term treatment center, and it's going to take a long journey toward wholeness and recovery. We pray that he comes to complete repentance and sincere change. In the meantime, we will be offering our love, care, and devoted support to Anna and our grandchildren as she also receives counsel and help for her own heart and future. You know, because she needs counsel and help.
Well, because she's to blame.
Absolutely.
I wonder if Josh is going to be learning more of them carpentry skills like he did during his last rehab.
Oh, Jesus. You can only imagine So this is just a matter of tucking Josh away until the heat's off.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is that part there where she needs help. Obviously the help she needs, and her brother apparently thinks this, is to get away from that gang of weirdos.
Yeah. Divorce.
And by the way, the rough sex with Danica Dillon.
Yeah.
That was going on while Anna was 5 months pregnant.
Well, I bet she wasn't too much fun then.
Well, that's why he done it.
Of course.
He paid her a grand total of $4,100.
Homophobia pays really good.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's apparently a lot of money in homophobia.
Damn.
Yeah. Ugh.
I totally went into the wrong line of work.
I know. Bad racket.
I know, but I sleep good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Unless you get a message from a buddy at like 7 o'clock in the morning saying, holy shit, there's been another killing. Turn your TV on. Then you go. Yes.
Oh. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. I appreciate it. I would have found out about it one way or the other. But
all I could think of was, oh my God, Bob, turn on the TV.
Yeah, it was nasty. I'll tell you who I want to hear address this. I want to hear Bernie say something about it.
Me too.
Because
we already know President Blackenstein can't say anything because, you know, he's just politicizing things.
He's just dividing us more.
Hillary's just capitalizing on a tragedy. But Bernie be interesting. Because the Republicans have been dead quiet about it all day. Other than to say, I'm so sorry for the families. Let's all pray for them.
Let's pray.
Yeah, because that makes him more alive.
Because, you know, it was a praying kind of guy that brought this on him.
Yeah.
And sincerely, I'm not trying to be a smartass here, Carol. If you know somebody who talks about Jesus talking to him or God talking to him, get him help.
Hell yeah. Schizo.
But see, the thing is, the Christians, and mostly it's Christians in this country, the Christians get away with it because of their Christian privilege.
Mm-hmm.
They can say that they hear voices when anybody else who says that gets medication.
If they overheard this conversation, they'd call it persecution.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Okie doke.
Because they don't know the difference between being held accountable for their own bullshit and actual persecution, which no Christian endures in this country.
Right. Ted Cruz says they're being persecuted all the time.
By liberal fascists, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Sleepy Pennsylvania town, liberal fascists. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Carol, have yourself a good evening, dear.
You too, my friend.
Thanks for joining me out here on the ledge.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't have any answers for you, but at least I kept you company out there.
Well, I appreciate it.
And offered you a smoke, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm a giver.
You are a giver.
All right.
Talk to you later, girl. Bye.
Bye, buddy.
The one and only Carol Baker, live from Hooterville. Both lines open if you want to get in on the conversation, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. It doesn't have to be that topic. I think we've pretty well worn it out. Look, it's Robert up near Morgantown. Hey, Robert.
Hey, just a moment. I need to find my mute button.
It's working fine. I mean,
okay.
You're not muted or anything.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I've been hearing you.
Okay. I see you had the excitement down your way today. I had it up my way yesterday with the Philip Barber problem.
Yeah, what came of that? I mean,
they have a 14-year-old boy, so I would assume he's probably a freshman, and they took him in, thank God, without incident, and it was over with yesterday. But they did close down a major artery. U.S. Route 250 was closed for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. And school in Barber County today, I have relatives that attend in Barber County. Was on a two-hour delay this morning. Also, they brought in, said they would bring in today, counselors and ministerial people to...
Oh, good. They're bringing in the ministers.
Yes. Did you get the email I sent you where we already have a minister trying to help excuse the young boy's actions?
No, I saw... Really? Excuse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, huh? We have a minister from Barber County that, you know, knows the boy and his family, and I sent you a link. It's also on Senator McKinley's page, too, on Facebook.
Nice.
So, you know, I've already been called down on Facebook for, you know, slinging dung, as someone liked to put it. But I just think, you know, it's the unevenness of your justice. You know, if this had been... Oh, my God, let's say a Muslim boy who had done something like this, they'd probably be pulling out the rope right about now. Don't you figure?
Oh, absolutely.
And then the shooting today, I did watch both the videos on that. And not to be voyeuristic or anything, I just wanted to see and know what had happened. I believe that poor woman was probably chased down the balcony and shot. Because there is one of those videos where you hear, before it's said and done, about 14 shots.
Oh, I'd heard there were no less than 8.
Yeah, in the very first video that I saw, which was the live a television station video, you can clearly count 8 shots. And from appearances, she was not hit in the first round, in the first few shots. I believe that what must have happened was her cameraman and the other woman were hit and taken out first thing. She ran down the balcony. If you look at through the one video, at the end of the balcony, there is a door and what appears to be another door by the side of it, but I didn't see anything that led me to believe that there were any steps down that way. So I believe she probably ran down the balcony to 2 locked doors. You know, you and I have no way of knowing. We don't have anything on the crime scene, but that's my guess there on that. That she was shot and killed shortly after the other two were shot.
God Almighty.
The video is not graphic. Let me say that. In fact, honestly, there is no blood. You do not see any impacts or anything. But it is the suddenness of the video that is very frightening, just how quickly something like this can happen.
Oh,
he's there?
Anywhere in America, Robert. Anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yes, all you have to do is say hello, and bang, bang, and somebody's dead. Yes, and the incident yesterday at Barber County, I had told relatives I was fearful of something like that around here for quite a while now because, you know, we have a very gun culture society here in West Virginia. And it did not really surprise me at all that something like that happened. Barber County, they said tonight on the news up here, they have video cameras, but they do not have metal detectors. So I have a feeling there'll be an order going in for some metal detectors before too long. My question is, how long is it going to be until we get faced with the problem of whether you go into a library, a movie theater, a school, a church, a shopping mall? How long is it going to be until there's going to be a couple security guards there to meet you? Maybe give you a little shakedown before you come in or go out.
Oh, man, well, that's obviously where we're headed.
Or a society where everybody carries a, and I'm going to use a ridiculous term, a cell gun along with their cell phone.
Well, the ultimate goal of the NRA is for every American to knuckle under and surrender to them and obtain a firearm.
And at the rate we're going, that is exactly what they're going to succeed at.
Look, I think I've made my position fairly clear on this program. I have owned pistols in the past. I have carried them in the past. I didn't like it, but it was an advised necessity. But I tell you what, no more. But even I am subject to occasionally thinking, you know, maybe I ought to go get one again.
Well, yeah, because, of course, you are like anyone who is in broadcasting or in politics. You're in the public eye, and you are a target in more than one way.
Well, there have been threats, but it feels like surrendering, Robert. It feels like I'm as awful as they are.
Well, you're doing it because you have to. They're doing it because they want to. I can see the difference there. We don't want to gun up, but if we have no choice, what else can we do?
Well, but they have, you know, make no mistake, paranoid white America has firearms in an attempt to intimidate other people. I mean, you see things around here. I mean, you're in West Virginia too. The homes that have a plaque by the front door with a, and quite often they're hand painted and they bought them at the carnival or something, and it's got a representation of a
of a smoking revolver on it, and it just says, "We don't call 911," or "This house protected by Smith and Wesson."
Yeah, or
and they do that to for purposes of intimidation. So if I respond in kind, I'm trying to counter intimidate.
Or the famous bumper sticker, "You'll get my gun when you pry it out of my cold
old
dead
hand. Bangers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have these discussions with my family members, especially my elderly aunt, and I keep trying to tell her, even though this stuff is going on, your chances of being killed by any kind of, you know, in something like this or by a terrorist or anything, are marginally greater than they used to be. Maybe instead of 1 in 5 million, it's 1 in 2 million. You know, I'm just making up numbers here. But you probably got a lot better chance of getting killed on the road by a drunk driver than a terrorist killing you.
Well, absolutely, and that's what President Obama said earlier today. He said, and Sparky provided this to me, President Obama said, "It breaks my heart every time you read or hear about these kinds of incidents. What we know is that the number of people who die from gun-related incidents around this country dwarfs any deaths that happen through terrorism." And that's a fact.
Oh, yeah, we're far better at killing each other than anybody else is at coming in and killing us. Yeah.
And even when we're not trying, we kill each other. Or hurt each other, or maim each other.
Absolutely. I only see one type of incident that I believe could have any kind of impact on this, and I'm almost afraid to even talk about it, but I have envisioned it for several years now, and that is to have something similar to what took place in the school over in, I can't think, it was one of those Soviet satellite-type places, you know what I mean, where they went into the school and they killed dozens upon dozens of students and teachers. If we have an incident where they count the bodies in the hundreds, 200 or 300, do you think it would have any impact? And God forbid that it should have to come to something like that.
Well, A, I'm sure somebody's already planning it. B, 20 kids should be enough. That's Sandy Hook.
Oh, yeah. Sandy Hook should have been enough, yeah. But you have enough.
But there will all. But Robert, there will always be a mitigating excuse to prevent us prevent us from reaching. Well, I mean, hell, the majority of the people in the United States wanted something done in the wake of Sandy Hook. What we got was nothing, and that is because it is a political reality of this country that a mean, hateful, persistent, spite-filled plurality can actually drive policy in this country. Dr. Bill's been doing a lot of talking about Federalist 10 and faction and what and majority rule and what Madison thought about all of it. And the fact of the matter is, well, in the case of Sandy Hook and like closing the gun show loophole, things like that, America, the American people, clearly support the idea.
Yeah, I think you misused the word plurality. What you really mean is that we have a minority, but they are so dedicated to their purpose.
Well, no,
they
I mean,
love,
no,
they
no,
love
you
their
can,
guns
you can,
so much.
You can, six of one, half dozen of another. You don't necessarily have to have a full majority.
Oh,
but
no.
You've got to have enough noisy, spiteful people. I mean, the number of, and that's a plurality, not necessarily a distinct minority. But the point is that we can't even get majority rule, because in this particular instance, with this particular issue, the people who are making the noise are also people who will shoot you.
Well, yeah, but also taking,
and we're afraid of them. Let's just say that out in the clear. We're afraid of all the gun goobers. I'm not talking about being afraid of this or that individual criminal. I'm afraid of the lawful gun owners, because I want to reiterate, that that what's his face today was a lawful gun owner. And that's why I hammer on this time after time after time after time. The problem with these things is that they are always, almost always promulgated by lawful gun owners who only become an awful gun owner with the first pull of the trigger.
Well, certainly. That man today, he was no murderer, and he, apparently he wasn't even really a criminal.
You know what? Wherever it was he bought his pistol, they would have sold him 100 more if he'd had the money.
Oh, yeah. Certainly would have. As many as you want, sir. But how do you make anything work when you look at our Congress and realize that our senators and our House of Representatives and such, they're bought by the money. You know, the minute anything that's anti-gun comes up, the NRA or Smith & Wesson or Winchester or somebody's going to go in there and say, hey, you know, you kill this and I'll see that you're taken care of.
Sure.
Because it's always the money anymore. I mean, the truer words were never spoken than the words follow the money. That will give you the answer to just about every question you can ask. Follow the money, see who it is and where it goes.
I agree, but my thesis is that there is more to it than that. I think that that deep down the National Rifle Association wants to see the overthrow of constitutional government in the United States.
Well, they've got a lot of company. I think the right-wing Christians in this country want it too.
Well, it's a Venn diagram, and there's a hell of a lot of overlap in that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen polling tonight to where, guess who's leading the Republican presidential primary polling in West Virginia? Donald Trump leads with 30%. I think the second number two guy was Ben Carson with 8.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the problem with America, we want something different. I think that may be why Bernie is winning on the Democratic side or doing so much better, and why Trump is on the other side, because at least they are something different.
Could you
find people more complete opposites than Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders?
Absolutely. In fact, I kind of even hate to have the two mentioned in the same breath. Donald Trump is succeeding because he is appealing to the essential fascist nature of the American right wing. He is finally being as big of a fascist ass as this country, the right-wing side of it, yearns to have.
I used yesterday the term, to quote Paul Tsongas, he's Santa Claus. To those people, he's Santa Claus. He's going to give them everything they want. And they think he can do it.
And the thing is, most of the right-wingers, Robert, who are hooting about the illegals, most of those Fox viewers have never even met a person from south of the border, let alone had daily interaction with one. Trump is the one who needs the undocumented immigrants because he's got to have somebody to mow his damn lawn. Okay? Willard Romney needs the undocumented immigrant population because he needs somebody to wash his cars.
And Americans still have at least a little bit of pride, but not much.
You know, non-union construction contractors desperately need the undocumented immigrant population because they need somebody to pay substandard wages to, and for whom if they can say, hey, what, you got hurt on the job? Well, you know, that's too bad for you. I mean, you're not supposed to be here in the first place. And instead of paying those workers' comp bills every month, you know, that payment goes on the new Porsche.
Oh, yeah, or consider this fact that if you have those people in here, that you can give them the most dangerous, life-threatening type job you want.
Right.
And if they, you know, if they get killed, well, what's the big deal, you know?
Exactly. Well, it'll be interesting. Follow up on the kid. I'd be interested to know what the fallout is from the Philip Barber High School incident. That's just
okay. I certainly will. I'll continue to keep an eye on it. Like I say, if you check your email, you'll find it.
Well, I did. I looked at my email. I didn't see it.
Okay. Maybe it hasn't come through yet.
Okay. All right.
It's your Gmail, Bob Kincaid at Gmail?
Yeah, BobKincaid@gmail.com.
Okay. I might put it B. Kincaid. I'll see if I can give it a shot, send it again.
All right.
If not, check on Facebook. Just go to David McKinney's website. It'll be there.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Have a good evening, Robert.
Thank you. You have a good evening, too.
I'm going to try. Bye now. Robert, calling from up in the northern, occasionally somewhat more civilized end of this state. Note, and this is a fair inquiry, and it got me thinking. Note coming in from Tim in L.A. Subject, why are there guns in West Virginia? It really blows my mind that people carry rifles and pistols. I mean, in West Virginia, suffice to say, there are no Watts, Compton, South Central, or East L.A., and all four areas. I've been there alone at night. I was coming home at night after the Rush concert in Englewood, a rough part of town, and I wasn't hyper aware. Who are these morons who need a pistol or a rifle while going to Chili's or McDonald's that they need to protect themselves? From whom? The government? Blacks? Mexicans? Atheists? Who? That's it. It's the who. Pete Townsend. Roger Daltrey. No. Let's see. We don't have that many black folks in West Virginia, even less in the way of Mexicans. Atheists? Well, there's not too many of them. But Tim continues, these same morons who talk shit about my hood would crap their pants if they walked with me on 83rd Street in Hoover, home of the 83rd Street Crips. I'm not worried, nor should they. Do you have gang members rolling around with their AK-47s shooting white folks? They don't in Los Angeles. Therefore, in all honesty, I will never walk alone at night anywhere that allows open carry or even concealed carry. They scare me. Well, scare me too, Tim. And, you know, we have guns here because of our frontier heritage, because our ancestors come over here and they cross the Allegheny front and they come into what's now West Virginia and they stole the land from the Indians fair and square at the muzzle of a gun, and guns made America great. And in point of fact, and most of the hunters don't even know this, we had pretty nearly hunted the white-tailed deer to extinction by 1900. There are places in West Virginia that have not had a deer season, or that didn't have a deer season until 20 years ago, because the population wasn't high enough. But yeah, I mean, it comes from a nostalgic, and it's a fraudulent nostalgia. For the time when people went out and hunted for squirrels and had squirrel brains and gravy on scrambled eggs for breakfast. You think I'm kidding? I am not. And it's the same with the Scots-Irish expansion throughout the Southeast. It's the same with Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, the Carolinas. You had firearms because firearms were tools. Same as a saw. I mean, the legend of my multi-ancient grandpappy is that he plowed his ground with the traces in his teeth, one hand on the plow and another hand holding a loaded musket, because the locals did not appreciate having him steal their land. And he stole hundreds of thousands of acres from them and then gave it away to more white folks who came and settled. But in a place like Appalachia, that's why we've got them. And also, there's a heritage in a place like Appalachia. The Battle of Kings Mountain, when a whole bunch of drunk hillbillies got together, and they were drunker than Adam's off ox, and crossed the mountains and whipped the living bejesus out of the British in the Revolution, the Overmountain Men. And we're proud of that. And the Kentucky Long Rifle and Daniel Boone and the opening of the West. See, this used to be the West. And so now, some guy who makes his living, or did until he got recently laid off, poisoning people at the foot of mountaintop removal operations, has a house full of guns because heritage. And ask any West Virginia politician about firearms. Well, guns, the Second Amendment is a proud part of West Virginia's heritage. You know why they were eating them squirrel brains? Because they were near starvation. Because it was the only meat. In many instances. My great-grandfather was a coal miner. And he lived on a little tiny, in a little house, on a little plot of ground, in coal company housing. But whatever he had for a yard was taken up every year in the couple of hogs that he would raise, and then come cool weather, slaughter them, butcher them, and hang them to smoke in the smokehouse that he built with his own hands in that self-same backyard. And he did that because there was no way you could afford to eat meat on coal company pay. Ninety percent of the stuff that's foisted off as heritage around here is actually the desperate actions of people who were trying to avoid starving to death. Because where before they had had subsistence farms and raised their chickens and their hogs, mostly, maybe had a cow for some dairy, raised their corn and their wheat, maybe some grapes, a few apple trees. Well, when the coal company came and took away most of that, well, the tender mercies of life under the coal company, getting paid in fake money, made that subsistence livelihood look pretty attractive. But being mostly white and entirely paranoid, people and white folks in Appalachia will tell you that they have firearms because it's their heritage, because somebody from the National Rifle Association told them that it was. And by the way, Michael in Madison, with regard to my remark on the people with the "we don't call 911 signs, Michael says, "I always laugh when I see one of those signs. What do they do when Grandpa has a stroke? Cletus, get my pistol. House is on fire. Marveline, get my Bushmaster. I'm going to pump these flames full of lead. Don't call 911, my ass." Okay, fine. Don't. Pappy, are you having chest pains? Do you want your 357 Magnum? We don't call 911. Jack down in Shreveport says, in my local newspaper the other day, there was an article making a big deal out of a recent disappearance of a local officer's gun. It said there were around 10 weapons missing total. My thoughts simply were, so what? It's about 10 of thousands and thousands of guns around here. Who cares? Right. And, of course, they were probably sold, and they're on the street in Chicago now, or New York, Boston, Philly. Lord, I hope Thorn in the Side Thursday is better than this. A bunch of other stuff to talk about. But it just feels like it pales in comparison.
But being prayer meeting Wednesday, there are a couple of things we can round out the evening with. Remember the story out of Chanute, Kansas? Did I get it right this time? Where the Freedom from Religion Foundation sent him a letter and said, hey, that picture of Jesus in your school's got to go. And they were like, yeah, you know what? We're not in compliance with the Constitution. You're right. Oh, by God, they're not a bunch of sissies in Kentucky. The Breathitt County Courthouse has a portrait, I guess you could call it that, or a line drawing or whatever, a sketch of Jesus. I guess he's supposed to be Jesus. We don't know what he looked like. Who's standing over a man who's kneeling and appears to be weeping. And under it, it says, in your place, what would Jesus do? The Freedom from Religion Foundation has reached out to the Breathitt County Courthouse and said, to put this at the seat of county government is really chilling. This sends this message that you better better pretend to be a Christian if you want to get any service or justice around here. The courthouse has ignored the letter from the Freedom from Religion Foundation because I suppose they'd rather spend taxpayer monies defending a lawsuit. Jackson, Kentucky resident Mike Mullins said, basically, he gave his only begotten son for us, so I believe it's wrong to take it down. Yeah. God offed his own kid because people were so awful. Like I said, there was lots of stuff we could have used for prayer meeting Wednesday. Lots and lots of stuff. We talked about the Duggars a minute ago. Well, their preacher, I guess, has felt compelled to offer a bit of advice to his gang, his group of flockers. Or flock, I mean. Yeah. Ronnie Floyd is president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's senior pastor of Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas. And the Duggars have gone there. He was sermonizing last Sunday, talking against the homosexuality and the divorce and couples living together before marriage. That was one of the things that came out of the murder today in Virginia. The news anchor there announced that he and the murder victim had recently moved in together and were planning to get married. They were living together in sin. And that's what Ronnie Floyd was preaching again last Sunday. He said, this sexual revolution is altering mindsets, undermining the family, influencing the culture, and is a mockery to biblical truth. And then, of course, he felt compelled, in the name of Jesus, to address the Ashley Madison problem. We're in a sexual epidemic of unprecedented proportions in this country. Nothing is secret now, nor will it ever be. It is an attack of the enemy. That enemy is going to take your spouse away from you. Both men and women have their sexual needs met by someone, somewhere, somehow. Things like this have happened before and will happen again. and Ronnie Floyd would like his parishioners to have a lot more sex. Now, we don't have to hear about it, but he'd appreciate it if his parishioners would, because if you don't, the next thing you know, well, there you are. Your husband's signed up for Ashley Madison. You're 5 months pregnant, and he's a getting it on in the rough trade with Danica Dillon there. Then there's this story out of Reuters. It's the story of 46-year-old Marcelo de Jesus Maria. He's going up the river. He's going to do 6 months of, well, I mean, not really up the river. He's around the block, more like. Marcelo de Jesus Maria, I'm sorry, Father Marcelo de Jesus Maria, priest of the Roman Catholic Church. He's been convicted in federal court on a charge that he groped a woman during an airline flight. So he's going to do 6 months in Club Fed and 6 months of home confinement. He will also have to register as a sex offender. Mm-hmm. At the sentencing hearing, the victim testified she was still traumatized by the event. She was sleeping. And when she woke up, she found Father Marcelo de Jesus Maria touching the top of her leg and wrapping his arm around her body to grab at her breast. That's when she got to go to the restroom and use the call button to let the flight attendant know that she had been molested by the representative of Jesus Christ. He tried to explain his conduct. The prosecutors described them as bizarre explanations. He said he considered touching of the victim consensual because she didn't reject him, and he interpreted her silence because she was asleep as, no, really, coyness. Uh-huh. Coyness. Oh, the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's run over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Ain't it?
Ain't it? It ain't. It air.
Mm-hmm. Bob Barbarossa, how are you?
I'm well. Jim, what's happening?
Nothing. You were talking about some women or people being scared that, what do you call them, the homosexuals, go take their husbands away?
Absolutely.
Oh, hell, I've known two women that wanted me to take their husbands away. I said, shit, I wouldn't have them. They go home.
You can have him. I don't want him. He's too gross for me, right?
There you go. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've heard this stuff all my life. My God in heaven, this, I don't know where it comes from or how it's engendered, but I guess it's just, sometimes I think it's
paranoia,
just,
repression, you know, the usual suspects.
It's just genetic, I guess. It's in the DNA. What else can you say? Everything else is, right?
Sure. I mean,
I'm not trying to make light of what you've been saying, but whatever. But, I mean, I've heard this so many times all my life and been through it and dealt with people who didn't like me because of what I am. And, you know, it's like I sent you an email last night on your program. Hey, you know, if you don't want me, you don't have to worry about me being around. I got other places to go. Better looking, more attractive, and certainly better opportunity.
And better company.
Yeah, better opportunity. That's right. You got it, absolutely. But I sent you an email, you know, somebody was talking about killing more people. And, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
One death, a statistic. I mean, one death, a tragedy. A million, a statistic. Joseph Stalin. And that is in the mind of a lot of people, you know?
Sure it is. And the fact of the matter is, there's people out there that are trying... There are people out there who are trying to figure out how to take down a greater number.
Oh,
because
of course
this
are.
Because this country is this country.
Well, not only this country, but I mean, you look at the history of warfare and stuff like that, and all the stuff that's been devised to destroy millions of people. Bacterial warfare. The Japanese had a great program in it. Even Hitler said he didn't want to have anything to do with it, but I don't know about that. But he certainly had some people who worked for him who did. And, of course, you got our own little thing up at Fort Detrick where they've got all kinds of bugger bears and bugs and stuff like that. And, you know, matter of fact, back when the Germans turned on the Allies, the pontine marshes that Mussolini had drained.
Yeah.
They undrained them. You know why? Because they were studying to get the Anopheles mosquito back in there to carry malaria.
Sure. And that was, I mean, that was the, God, who, they had been previously drained by one of the emperors.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were pretty
bad
for
that, but for that very reason, because they bred disease.
Exactly. And the Anopheles mosquito, once it's since I think the female's the one who's infected with the virus or whatever it is, and when they once they're infected, it makes them much more attractive to humans to bite for malaria. Now that's the thing about it. Mosquito is just not the only culprit, but nonetheless, I'm just talking about man's humanity to man. So I'm trying.
Yeah, but
to
there's say. You know there's a big difference, Jim. Between, and I'm not approving of it, but there's a difference between warfare and this, whatever this sickness is we have in this country.
Well, Bob, sickness is not only here, it's a lot of other places too.
Well, yeah, but it's not.
It is.
The gun sickness that we have in this country is, in the immortal words of Dim Leader, uniquely American. Because there just aren't that many places in the rest of the world where you can buy as many guns as you have the money to afford.
Well, man, in other parts of the world, those guns don't cost anything. They're given to them. And they're shooting and carrying them over in the Middle East and stuff like that.
Sure. I don't think we want to be that.
No, but, I mean, you know, the example's been set and... Unfortunately, I do believe that our 2003 action in the Middle East helped precipitate a lot of that unpleasantness.
Oh, sure. Well, we're the author of all of that misery.
Well, I mean, guns are money. Big guns are money. Little guns are money. All types of weapons are money.
Well, and that's what I was trying to explain about around here, Jim. They are fungible.
I know. Well, you know, whether it's a cruise missile that costs $1 million or whether it's an AK-47 or it's a 22 or a hog leg or whatever you want to call it, they are definitely things that cause a great deal of unpleasantness. And I'm just using that word demurely as I possibly can.
Yeah.
What else can you say? You know, really? I mean...
Well, I mean, I wish... I mean... And
the world's in a hell of a, the whole world is in a hell of a state. It really is. In the past 20 years, it's just gotten, oh boy, it's really gone not arithmetically, not geometrically, but almost exponentially. All the bad stuff that's been happening, you know, in the world, or the past 30 years. I mean, you know.
I tend to mark things from. You can use all kinds of different yardsticks.
No, big marks.
I measure a lot of things from the inauguration of Ronald Reagan. But you can also measure a lot of things from the overthrow of the democratically elected prime minister of Iran.
So, Milosevic?
Yeah, Mossadegh, yeah.
Mossadegh, excuse me.
Yeah, Harry Truman had refused to do it, but Eisenhower got his arm twisted by his old buddy Winnie. And, you know, people forget, if they ever knew, that at the same time during the Iranian Revolution that they were carrying big placards of the Ayatollah Khomeini, they were also carrying placards bearing the likeness of Mohammad Mossadegh.
Well, that's true. One thing about Mr. Churchill, though, I mean, he certainly had his role during the Second World War, but he was interested in one thing only, being an old line royalist or whatever you want to call the guy. A lot of times I have a great deal of respect for his rhetoric and some of the stuff he did. He had a lot of guts. But he was basically intentioned on one thing, and that was the preservation of the empire.
Exactly.
And he didn't want it to go away. That was just something that was in which he was brought up and inculcated.
Well, what was that line said about him? Churchill was such a racist, he thought the WOGs began just east of Kent.
Well, now I don't know if this is true or not, or if it was written in the dialogue of that film, A Judgment at Nuremberg. But remember when Maximilian Schell was defending Burt Lancaster?
Mm-hmm.
And he quoted the thing about, if such a thing were to happen in Great Britain, it was in 1937, it would be great if a man like Adolf Hitler would come along and straighten it out. Those are not the exact words, but it is in the dialogue of the movie. And it was part of Herr Roth's defense or Maximilian Schell's defense of Burt Lancaster. I guess his name was Herr Roth. I'm not sure of the characters. You have to excuse me on that. But nonetheless, there are a lot of people who said some strange things in history, but that's just the way it goes. And a lot of it's written and a lot of it's unwritten or whatever.
Indeed, indeed. Jim, have yourself a good evening.
Well, same to you, sir.
All right. Good to hear from you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. And thus we find ourselves at the close of the program. We have $100 to go in fundraising for the evening. Hope I didn't run everybody off with this exegesis on another day in the American gallery of horrors. Back tomorrow with Thorn in the Side Thursday. And by then we may know even more about what happened today. Oh dear. Thanks to everyone who makes all of this happen. Thank you to all of you who spend your precious finite time sharing in this conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.